Take your Bibles and open up to Psalm chapter 146 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter 146 in the Word of God today. And as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 146. And if your health allows you to, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, for those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been in a series now entitled A Journey in the Psalms. And we've been looking at different psalms all around and moving through this most incredible book and just kind of taking apart and exegeting some of these psalms. Boy, it's been applicable and it's been good and we've been growing from it. And today I want us to look at Psalm chapter 146 and I want us to begin in verse number 1. Now, this is probably going to have to be, because of time's sake, broken up a little bit, and that's okay. But we're going to look at Psalm 146. Let's begin in verse number 1. Would you please follow along as I read several verses here? And again, as we get into the message, don't panic if we don't get this far. Over the next several weeks, this is where we'll find ourselves. In Psalm 146, would you please follow along as I read in verse number 1. The Bible says this: Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth and returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. This morning I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled, The Worthy One. The Worthy One. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, Lord, it is amazing that we get to walk with you. We get to talk to you. I love this song just a moment ago, I shall know him. Lord, I really am very excited. One day that I get to see you face to face. Lord, what a thought that is. And then Father, for those of us who are saved in here today, we get to spend all of eternity with you. Wow. Oh man, Lord, we really could just praise you. Father, as we dig into your word today, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. Father, hide me behind the cross. Lord, as we walk out of these back doors, these side exits, Lord, may you be on our mind. May it not be the restaurant. May it not be the ball game. May it not be the weather. But God, I just ask for the next couple moments, we put off all those worries, all those concerns, and Lord, help us just to tune in for a moment to what the Lord and what your word has for us. God, we love you. We need you. The worthy one. Lord, help us to concentrate on this for the next couple of moments. We love you, Savior. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm is one of the first of five psalms that is written with the title, A Hallelujah Psalm. It's a very encouraging psalm. It's a psalm often to that we run to when things are going well in our life. The reason for that is these five psalms were written around the time that Israel returned from their bondage that they had been in Babylon. They returned from exile and the Jews once again begin to rebuild what many of them had only heard in stories. They begin to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple and begin to reestablish a nation. These people were rejoicing and they were praising God for what God had done in their life. You see, they were rejoicing because they had gotten away from God and God's judgment was upon them, excuse me, because of the false gods that they had been worshiping. They were taken into exile and for many years stayed there, and now they are brought back to the one true God. Therefore, they are praising him, and the reason for this psalm and others like it, the main reason here is because he truly is worthy. God was worthy of their praise. If these ancient people could praise the Lord for having the grace upon their lives and returning them to their homeland, how much more should you and I, as God's redeemed, saved people, praise him for bringing us out of shame and sentence and sorrow for the sins that you and I commit? You see, if we begin for just a moment, tune in. If you and I begin to think about Jesus. Now, just think about it. Tune in. Watch. Begin to think about who he is. Think about the God. If you think and I think about the God that he is in our lives, would you and I not agree that he is worthy, watch now, of our love? If you agree with that, say amen this morning. Well, of course we should. Why? Because God loved us, that he came and he died and he sacrificed his love for you and I. Therefore, you and I who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we are now saved, therefore we would say absolutely, without a doubt, God deserves our love. Why? Because he loved us and look what he's done for us. And you and I get to have a relationship with him here on this earth, but not just here, but also for all of eternity up in heaven. We get to live with him. I mean, if that doesn't make you want to say amen, I'm just telling you, something's wrong with your little amener, okay? Because if you begin to think about everything that God is to you and I, he is that love. And so therefore, he deserves our love. Well, you and I coming to him, and Lord, we love you. Lord, we are here today to learn about you. We are here today. Why? Because we love you, and we want to be more like you, your attributes and your attitudes and who you are. Yes, God deserves our love. But then we would also say this, that God is worthy of our, check it out, devotion. How many believe God is worthy of our devotion? Would you say amen this morning? Of course he is. But you know, isn't it amazing how much time we devote to everything else? Oh yeah, we are, yes. Oh yes, God, amen. Yeah, I'll put an amen there, preacher. But isn't it amazing how much time we devote to everything else and how little time we devote to God? Oh yes, we believe that God deserves our devotion. But think about your last 7 days. How much time do we really spend in the Bible? No, wait. Let's be fair for just a second. How much time do we devote to CNN or Fox News or whatever your flavor is? Well, some of you would be like, well, that's just quite a bit. How about Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune? How about your favorite, whatever your show is, Amazing Race or Survivor, fill in the blank. I don't know. That's not in season right now. It's coming out in September. Okay, I'm just saying some things. Look, we put a lot of devotion and time into Hulu and Prime and Netflix, and we put a whole lot of time. Uh-oh, might go meddling here, but I think some of us put a whole lot of time into Facebook this last week. Did we not? Ooh, it gets quiet, doesn't it? Yes, we know you. Some of you, your little stories on there and your little posts. Man, I'm telling you what. Isn't it amazing how everybody tells everything about themselves nowadays? I just woke up. I just ate my breakfast. I had 2 eggs scrambled or maybe over medium, and here I am, and little selfies in the bathroom. It's like, why are you taking selfies in the bathroom? That's why I always want to ask. Stop taking selfies in the bathroom. Do you know what's in the background? A commode, a potty, whatever you want to call it. Stop doing that. Nonetheless, we put a lot of time and devotion into the things that we enjoy. Guys, we put a lot of time and devotion into devotion to fishing or maybe even sports. I'm a sports guy. We put a lot of devotion into that. For some of you ladies, you're all into HGTV and you're into remodeling and you're into setting up the backyard because now it's summer and it's backyard barbecues. It's this, that. Let me just put it this way. We put a lot of devotion into a lot of things, but in the last 7 days, excuse me, college student, excuse me, grandparent, how much time did we devote to our relationship to God? How dare I sit here and say, yeah, we ought to devote a lot. We ought to have our devotion ought to be towards God. But I'm just here to tell you, if we're just going to come in and meet and we check out off our checklist that we met with God and we're good, and we sang praise him, and we can head out, and we're not growing in him or devoting some time to our relationship to him, friend, we're here today and we're absolutely wasting our time. Love, devotion? Oh, sure. Is he worthy? Without a doubt. I'm not here to preach a message and just get some amens and, boy, he's worthy of our love. And, oh, yes, he is worthy of our devotion. And, oh, yes, God, he is the worthy one. Because when we think about these things, he really is. Do you know that he is worthy, listen very carefully, of our obedience? He's worthy of our obedience. Isn't it funny, we had all of our students this past week, and they all went off to camp, and boy, it's a great time, and I had 2 kids, Tommy and Lois, that went to camp, and so many others that were there, and some of you, man, I'm looking around the auditorium, you can tell who went to camp, because they are like burnt, their noses are red, their shoulders are red, like, y'all must have been in the sun there in North Carolina, amen, but for those of you who are at camp, man, we're all about it, it's all good, and it's all great, man, they grew in the Lord, and isn't this wonderful, and boy, obedience, and we get back, we expect them to be little robots. And boy, what'd you learn at camp? Tell me about what Dr. Shetler preached this past week. And how did you grow? And boy, we're going to hold them accountable to obedience. Listen, not our parents, but let's talk about us for just a moment. Do you know that God is worthy of our obedience? If you agree with that, say amen. He is worthy of it. Look what he sacrificed for you and I. You and I, when we, listen now, we are bought with a price. We are not our own. When we got saved, we no longer live for self. We no longer live for the corporate ladder. We no longer live for the world that revolves around me. No, when you and I got saved, now we live for the higher one. We live for a higher cause. We have a higher calling. We are now ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means this, you and I have been bought with a price. We now live, and our obedience is not to just government. It's not to just the job, and it's not to just ourselves, and it's not to our own minds and our own pleasing and our own dreams and our own aspirations. No, you and I are now living a life that ought to be obedient to the one who sacrificed so much for you and I. Amen. Worthy. Okay, but let's think about it for a second. We go into all of these, and we could preach 5 weeks on every one of these subjects, but that's not where we're going to stop today. Today, here's where I really want us to go, and especially using this passage of Scripture kind of as the groundwork for us, I want us to zero in on that God is worthy of our praise. Our praise. I want us to think about the worthy one for a moment, and if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Number one, in this passage, there is a call to praise. A call to praise. Look at verse number one here with me and watch with how the psalmist writes this. Look what he says. Number one, the call to praise. Verse number one, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You see, the psalmist calls upon his soul to praise the Lord. Throughout the Word of God, you and I are challenged to praise Him. You and I are challenged to bring our praise as humans to God, the one who is worthy. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 in verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like eagles. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's a command. There is this call. It is a desire from God that you and I praise Him. But listen very carefully. You and I living a life, if we take grandparents, if we take parents, and for those of you who are engaged, you're going to be married soon, it's a great application. So listen very carefully. I'm raising right now, Brother Brian, 5 kids. And these 5 kids, as I am raising them, there is a side of me that desires for them, listen now, for them to be obedient. Roberto, we've been there before. We go out and what do we tell our kids? Okay, kids, we're getting out of the car. Be respectful and be obedient and use your manners and don't embarrass your mother and I. I'm not the only one, surely. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know. No, trust me, if you don't, you probably need to with your kids. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just joking. Listen, and we're sitting there and we desire of them to be something. You need to do this and be obedient and be this person. I'll never forget, Pastor, we went over to your house for the very first time, and we're sitting here, and we are brand new. I think it was back in January. I have never been so nervous. Now, listen, with 5 kids, and the Defoes have already raised kids. They've got grandkids. That means this. When you walk into their house, it's not full of, like, little Tykes and Fisher-Price. It's like china cabinets and super expensive stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, kids, when you go in there, you act like it is Cracker Barrel on steroids. You do not touch a thing. You just walk in there and be on your best behavior. We walked out. They did pretty good, Ms. Defoe, don't you think? Oh, okay. We'll work on that. No, I'm just joking. She said yes. She said yes. Nonetheless, we desire our kids. Now watch. With me and my kids, I am just this type A personality that I like things to be set and in order and structured, and it's good, and kids have been really good for me. And oftentimes, I will concentrate. No, before I say this, let me talk to our overflow here too. Before I say this, don't judge me, okay? judge, righteous judgment. This is not one of those times. Now listen, I will oftentimes concentrate many times on the negative, what they've done wrong. Maybe I'm the only one like that, but I'm pretty sure there's others like me that, but Stephen, that's where we concentrate. It's just me. Well, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. You know, we had this great day. And it's so funny because we all get out of the van. It's been this incredible day. And I'm not going to like talk to the kids about how well they did at the zoo. My mind automatically goes to, we just all got out of the van. You left every coat, every shoe, every chicken nugget. It's all in the van. Now, why can you not pick all that up? And I ruined this incredible day with my bad attitude of everyone get back out to the van. You get everything out of that van. If I find one thing under there, you're going to. Anyways, and we go through that whole thing. And I'm on the negative. Sometimes Carrie, she's so gracious. She's just an incredible wife. And she just kind of pats me on the shoulder. You know what this means? Just shut up. You know what I mean? That's just, we all know that. We all know. Like, or rub like this. That one just gets on my nerves. I'd rather her pat than rub because like, fine, but it's me. It's that negative. Get out there. Every one of you walked. I'm like my dad, because dad used to say that every one of you eight kids walked over this piece of paper, you know, and you're 2 inches from it. Can you not bend down and pick up the candy bar wrapper? Nonetheless, I've inherited that, and that's me now, and I concentrate on that. But listen, my kids do not want to be raised with a dad that is always just the negative. I have kids and I love every single one of them. They're all different and it's amazing to just see God shine through them, the different personalities and who they are. And you know, sometimes I just gotta put it aside and just praise them. Great job getting that B. You know, well, my kids are going to live for the straight A's. I get it. But for me, if I'm pushing them to do something that maybe they're not, I just got to praise. Hey, you know what? Praise the Lord. You got an A and you got a B. That's wonderful. Maybe we could try a little bit harder. And then I feel like Pat. Okay, but you're good with the B. Okay, so we're good there. And it's that praise that comes in. You know, God is that Abba Father with us. God is not a God that is this. Now, listen, I'm not being irreverent, but there are many that do. This bully up on an anthill that constantly kicks us down and brings up our past and brings up who we are and reminds us that we're sinners and we're awful and we deserve hell. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that said that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son to die for you and I who were not worthy, friend? Your relationship with God has to be that way as well. How many times do we pray throughout the week and we get alone with God? And you know what? We get out our wish list. God, heal so-and-so. God, do this. God, pay this. God, I'm feeling this ache, this pain. Oh, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. I need this. You know what the psalmist is saying here? The psalmist in verse number 1 doesn't bring up, well, bless the Lord, and Lord, here's my wish list, and here's what I need. You know what the relationship with the psalmist and his God is? Is that God is a God that desires to hear our praise, to praise him for what he's done in our life. May we never forget at Cross Point Baptist Church, God has been such a good God to you and I that we can pause in here every once in a while and you and I could just say, hey, God, I just want to stop for a moment and thank you for sending your son. And I just want to for a moment stop and praise you for what you've done in my life. And I just want to stop for a moment and just praise you for salvation and praise you for healing and praise you for sending your only son and praise you for who you are in my life. Let me tell you, the relationship that God has with us ought to be one that every once in a while, you and I could just stop and say, hey, God, for a moment, I just want to praise you for who you are. How many are thankful for salvation? Say amen. How many are thankful for salvation? Say praise God. Ooh. Do you feel weird? Or we're not supposed to do that in a Baptist church. This Bible will mess with your theology and your standards of praise. And the psalmist said here, I will praise him. That ought to be a desire for us. But look as he continues here. Look what he says in verse number 2. Watch it carefully. The writer goes on and says that the praise will know no boundaries. Look at verse number 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. There is this earthly commitment that is here. Look at it carefully. Maybe even underline it. He says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. The psalmist says, as long as the breath fills my lungs, as the psalmist declares his intention, as long as I am breathing, as long as there is oxygen, I'm going to praise the Lord. That means this for you and I. Watch now. If you're saved, it doesn't matter if it's disease or age or pain or suffering or sorrow or even death. Nothing can touch the reasons for you and I pausing and for praying or praising our Savior. May you and I be thankful for who He is in our life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8, I love the scripture. It says, if anything, give thanks. Listen, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests may be known unto God. The real reasons we have genuine praise, I know sometimes we look at the external of health, or we look at the external of, paid bills. Or we look at the external of unanswered prayer, but really the reason that you and I ought to praise Him with genuine praise is internal. Watch very carefully. That means you and I are saved. If you're saved today, say amen. That means this. Listen now. You and I are sons of God. We are secure in Jesus forever. We're headed to a city called heaven. Those things that whether it's heaven or whether it's salvation or whether it's security of the believer, these things, listen now very carefully, those things cannot be taken from us. Time is not going to take it. Satan is not going to take it. Therefore, you and I have reason to rejoice. Luke put it this way, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. That means this, be happy because your names are written in heaven. Friend, do you and I go through tough times without a doubt? Do you and I have down times? Yes. Do you and I have those times that we don't feel good, or maybe our moods are changing, or maybe we got bad news? Yes, without a doubt. But you know, even the disciples, when they were with Christ, even they went through a hard time of not accepting what Christ was telling them, and kind of having a hard time with this thing called crucifixion, and kind of struggling with, well, what's going to take place? And yet God looked at them and said, look, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be there also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we not know whether thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, friend, if your rejoicer is broken today, if you say, I don't really have anything to praise God about, friend, start thinking about your salvation. Start thinking about what God has done for you. Start thinking about living with Him for all of eternity. And then, friend, look like a football game where they win it in the end. You and I will start high-fiving and rejoicing and being the beings that God created us to be. Amen. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, you're probably right. But God does. Well, you don't know the way. You're probably right. I don't. But He does. And friend, I'm going to ask you today, do you have a relationship with God? Do you know Him? I mean, do you know Him? Are you saved? Friend, please don't be offended by this, but I'm going to speak truth for just a moment. There will be a lot of good people in hell. There will be, Pastor. There will be. Be good people. People that were moral. People that were faithful. People that gave money in the offering plate. People that sat here on July 11th, 2021, and listened to this Baptist preacher preach. There'll be people in hell that sang in the choir, that worked at VBS, that taught a Sunday school. Lord, Lord, Did we not do many wondrous works in thy name? Lord, did we not attend? Did we not go? Were we not there? Did you not see what I put in? Did you not see how much time? Did you not see the devotion that I had? Probably one of the most scary verses in the Word of God is, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Whew. Ben is here today, and I've asked Ben now twice to use this story. The first time, the Holy Spirit shut it down. It wasn't a good time to use it. And Ben is here today, and Ben's given me permission to use it. Isn't that right, Ben? And so I got the nod. Okay. Ben is getting saved to Miss Katie Hawkins, and looking forward to this young couple just serving the Lord together. And Ben, about, what, 4 weeks ago now, met me right back there in the corner and said, "Hey, Pastor, loving the messages, loving the spirit, the atmosphere. Well, I want to be a member here." I said, "Man, Ben, that's awesome." You got to know Ben. I mean, Ben is just the coolest guy ever. Like, he's kind of like me. He's kind of charged up. Like, "Let's go. Let's do it." You know, we're talking about fishing. I'm not a big fisherman, but I kind of like to be. Tommy's getting into it. He's been in competitions and stuff. So we start talking about fishing. But then the conversation, Ben did it, and I came right back around to, "Oh, by the way, Pastor, great about fishing, but I'd like to join the church." I said, "Well, Ben, that's great. Let's get together and let's talk about it." "Okay, great. You and Katie come on in, and we'll meet in the office, and we'll talk." So about 3 days later, 4 days later, Ben and Katie come into the office, and there they are. We're talking about all kinds of things, them getting married, they're starting a life together, you know, kind of the past and the future. And, man, I was trying to be encouraging, getting there. Man, it was just, this is going to be great. And I said this. I said, "Ben, now look, to be a member at Crosspoint Baptist Church, you have to be, first of all, you have to be saved. You got to be baptized. You got to join, or you got to agree with the Constitution. That's how you join Crosspoint Baptist Church." "Yeah, great, Pastor. It's good. It's good. Yeah, we're good." Ben, you're just kind of like, "Yeah, hurry up. Let's do it." I said, "Okay, great." So I began to ask Ben, "Ben, tell me about your salvation." And Ben, you did. Ben started telling me all about his salvation and great parents, mom, I think it is here today, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't met everybody back there just yet, but I will. And I got family here today and in church and serving here and doing this. Great. And man, it was just a great upbringing. Incredible young man. But the Holy Spirit prompted and said, "Push a little bit further." And Katie, you sat there. You remember, I think you've had a grin on your face like, "Oh, I know where Pastor's going." I just began to push a little bit further. "Ben, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it." "Okay, Ben, here's what the Word of God says. Ben, in order to live with him for all of eternity, you have to repent of your sin, place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, and he promised he would save you." I said, "Ben, have you ever done that before?" "No, I don't think so." I said, "Ben, when would you like to do it?" True story, Ben said, "Right now." Amen. Me and Katie and Ben down there, and we got on our knees right there in the office at that couch. And I'm telling you, we cried like little babies, slobbering and just, man, I had to get up during the prayer and go get Kleenexes, and we're all crying. And let me tell you something, Ben called out to God. Amen. And said, "God, will you save me?" And in that moment, all of heaven went crazy. And God saved Ben. He said, "Pastor, why are you telling that story today?" He says, "Friend, I don't ever want to stand before God and assume that everybody's saved. I don't want the blood of someone in this very room, their hands, their blood to be upon my hands. Is God God, a God that's worthy to be praised? Absolutely. But if you're going to praise him, you better know him." And I'm asking you today, do you know him? You see, when you know him like Ben does, and Ben, and probably about, you know, 10 minutes or so, if I say 20, somebody's going to panic and start doing this again. And so I'll just say 10 minutes or so, we're going to go back there and we're going to baptize Ben. This is what I said. I said, "Ben, now you've been saved." And I started to walk him through baptism. And Ben, you just kind of interrupted me. You're like, "Okay, so when do I get baptized?" Like, you wanted to do it last week, but I was out of town last week. So I said, "Hey, how about the 11th? Absolutely. See, when you know Jesus, there's something inside of you that pushes you to just want to what? Just to praise him and worship. Baptism, no big deal. Put me up there. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Let's do it. I'm going to put on the uniform. I'm going to show everybody I believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, friend. When you get saved, you just don't care anymore. What do you mean you don't care? No, you care, but you start living your life for the audience of one, and that one is worthy to be praised. That one is Jesus Christ. That one is Jehovah. That one is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That one is the one that came and died and gave his life so that you and I, friend, could live with him for all of eternity. That's the one. That's the one that saved Ben. That's the one that Ben wants to show everybody this morning, including his family that he brought to church. Look, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to sit back, and I'm just not going to be ashamed of what he did. No, I'm going to show everybody, hey, today, I'm on the winning side. He is my Savior, and I am his, and I'm going to see him again one day, and look what I've done. And we get to show through baptism the death, the burial, and resurrection. And friend, at that moment, that's when you and I ought to say, praise the Lord, amen, look what God is doing. I get a little excited. Well, you know, this crowd over here, you know, the tongue-speaking crowd, they do this and holy laughter. And look, I'm just telling you, friend, I am sick of letting every other religion out there scare us into praising God the way that he wants to be praised. Uh-oh. See, now it gets all tense. Like, what's the rest of verse number two say? Well, look at it with me. Look what it says here. Watch. It says this. I will you say that next word? At the word sing, I'll give you an, I will say it out loud. Praises unto my God while I have being. While I have being. Singing means this. I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm just going to sing about him. It's amazing, you and I, we always joke about, well, if you could hear me sing in the shower, if you hear me sing it here, if you can see me there, great, that's wonderful and good, but the Bible talks about making a joyful noise unto him. What was that, Pastor Chris, what was the, can you give me DJ a hymn real quick? This song here, 454, check, listen. Oh, you can open it for me, 454. Wow, you almost have opened up to it. Listen to this, watch now. 454, listen to this. You gotta hear this. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Now, can we really sing that? I'd rather be his than have riches untold. But Eric, you know, sitting full well sitting back there, there's a lot of Christian Americans don't believe that. They're living their life, their entire life, for riches and gold. It says this, I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Hey, friend, there's many Christians who live their entire life and they walk into a church and they are so concerned with who wrote it and so concerned if it came from this or that. It's associated. Is it? Oh, they live their entire life and never know what it means to truly praise God. And the psalmist said, while there's breath, I'm going to praise him. That means this, I'm going to sing.